Welcome to an episode of Penguin Press Volumes, the podcast where our editors share the inside scoop about their new books and where you can listen to a sneak peek of the audiobook. On today's episode, we're discussing The Unexpected by Emily Oster and Nathan Fox. Listen to editor Jenny Smith-Yance discuss the new book, on sale today.
Hi, this is Jenny Smith-Yance here to talk to you about The Unexpected by Emily Oster and Dr. Nathan Fox. A decade ago, Expecting Better revolutionized the pregnancy landscape with economist Emily Oster's data-driven approach. Fast forward to 2024, over a million copies of Emily's books have been sold. She is a parenting media fixture, and she helms a vital and growing online community at Parent Data. Emily is deeply in touch with her readers, and she kept hearing questions from them about how to navigate second pregnancy when the first did not go as planned. People wrote to her with help navigating pregnancy after loss, for help with treatments, or to share their complicated decision-making. They were looking for data. How likely was this terrible thing to happen again? What could make it less so, if anything? But they were also seeking guidance through an unfamiliar world of medical decision-making. The unexpected is the answer to this need. And we hope readers do not need this book. But the reality is that 50% of pregnancies fall in one of these categories, and we don't talk about it. Many of the conditions here are kept quiet, which makes you feel alone if you experience them, and it discourages the necessary research and policy discussion as well. So The Unexpected has three goals. First, to bring these maternal health complications into the light. Second, to give those who do need this book the data they've been asking for about recurrence and treatments. And third, to give a clear map toward more productive conversations with your provider. And to get that piece right, Emily has brought in Dr. Nathan Fox, a lauded maternal-fetal medicine specialist at Mount Sinai, and his perspective and guidance are throughout each of the condition-specific chapters of the book. Throughout the chapters, we also hear from readers who found themselves navigating one of these difficult conditions. In many cases, existing resources were scant, but The Unexpected will change that. And I see it filling an essential space on the pregnancy shelf next to classics like Expecting Better, What to Expect When You're Expecting, and Taking Charge of Your Fertility. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed hearing from the editor. Now here's a sneak peek of the book. Happy listening.
When I got to my second pregnancy, I was in a very different position. This was partly because I had written a book about pregnancy. It was also because I was very lucky. My first pregnancy was smooth. Very few new questions arose before the second. I had no significant complications previously that I felt I needed to prepare for. This is not true for everyone. If people largely come into their first pregnancy with similar expectations, we all come into a second, or third, or fourth pregnancy with the weight of our different experiences. Good or bad. When these experiences are complicated, the landscape going forward is complicated too. This isn't a rare or niche problem. Complicated pregnancies affect a lot of us. If we put together all of the conditions discussed in this book, miscarriage, preterm birth, preeclampsia, hyperemesis gravidarum, and many more, we are talking about perhaps 50% of pregnancies. And that means as much as half of our later pregnancies carry this extra layer of difficulty. I wrote Expecting Better more than a decade ago. In that time, I have continued to work as a professor, specializing in health economics and statistical methods. I have also written two other books, as well as countless issues of a newsletter, Parent Data, about pregnancy and parenting. Through this work, through emails, DMs, research surveys, and personal interactions, I have had the privilege to see an enormous range of pregnancy experience. People write for help with navigating pregnancy after loss. Once a reader wrote to share the heartbreaking news that she had lost her son at 20 weeks. She was looking for answers, which I'm sorry to say I didn't really have at the time. Then, a couple of years later, she wrote to me again, this time sharing pictures of her new baby. People write for help with treatments. I had preeclampsia before. Should I take aspirin this time? They write for reassurance. My doctor said this complication is really unlikely to happen again, but is that right? They write to share their complicated decision-making around future pregnancies. I want to give my son a sibling, but I'm just not sure I can do that again. I feel the sadness that can come through some of these emails, but also the joy that's sometimes on the other side. I feel privileged to be with them for a portion of what can be an incredibly challenging time. I feel lucky when I can help and frustrated when I cannot. Ultimately, when people reached out to me with these questions about pregnancy after complications, they were almost always looking for data. They had been through an experience that was incredibly emotionally fraught, and they were trying to make the best decision possible and move forward. People craved evidence, something to help them process and contextualize what they had experienced and what it might mean for the future. What I also heard, along with the desire for data, was a much more intense version of the same feeling I had during my first prenatal visit. Navigating or planning a pregnancy after complications can plunge you into an unfamiliar world of medical decision-making. Conversations with medical providers can be hard and scary, and often people felt that they were given a choice about what to do without really having the full set of information they needed, or they weren't given any choices at all. Data is one important input, but another key is knowing the right questions. In so many of the scenarios we'll talk about in this book, the right decision depends on the particulars of your situation. Your medical provider will be the key partner in figuring this out, which makes it all the more important that those provider conversations are as constructive as possible. That will be easier if you're coming into the office with more knowledge, with a better sense of the right set of questions. I wrote this book to try to help people navigate these crucial moments of their lives. This goal, to empower people to make better, more confident decisions in their pregnancy and parenting, imbues everything I do in my writing. It's the reason I write every day and the thing that I love. In that sense, this book is no different from my existing work. What is different about this book is that I hope you do not have to listen to it. It's odd to write a book that you hope people will not need. I very much want people to listen to my other books, but this one, I wish you would be able to pass by. However, I go back to the reality just discussed. 25% of pregnancies end in miscarriage. 5 to 10% of women will be diagnosed with diabetes or preeclampsia. Approximately 10% of births are preterm. We do not talk about this. And yet, there it is. These issues affect an enormous number of pregnancies. The lack of discussion is part of the problem. So many of these conditions experienced here are kept quiet or secret. The secrecy of miscarriage we are perhaps aware of, but it goes beyond this. How many of us know the details of even our close friend's vaginal tearing or uterine prolapse? How frequently do you hear people discuss the experience of a child spending a month in the NICU or the details of postpartum anxiety? Hiding these things can leave us feeling alone. That loneliness compounds an already painful situation. It also discourages necessary research and policy discussion. There are many places in this book where we'll come to conclusions along the lines of, we don't really know what works here, even when it seems like learning what works could be within reach. But research funding often follows public discussions, and public discussions cannot happen if we're not willing to talk about these hard things.
Thank you for listening and supporting our books. To learn more about what's coming up, follow us online. Links are in the show notes. We'll see you next time.